Please, Ty.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 79 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 79 starts with Troy hitting the ground with his fist and ends with Darbus saying the stage can be a wonderful partner.
Wow. Well, we can make funny statements about what Miss Darbus means at the end of the minute.
Yeah.
But let's start, with Troy hitting the ground. Normally one hits the ground running.
Or hits the ground like with a head start. Like, I don't know.
Back to the rules and I hit the ground running? Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but no, he's literally, he's doing more of a Hulk style ground pound.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he doesn't make ripple waves of dirt.
Yeah, there's no T-Rex vibrations, as it were. So he hits the ground, stands up, spins, and then yells.
Yeah, and it almost starts the spin from like a kneeled position, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking.
And then what's funny is the first beat of the choreography, because he's kind of doing it like on beats.
Yeah.
Is like the pre-spin turn, like winding himself up to go into the spin.
Yeah.
I guess it's something you got to do.
It's sharp looking. Like, it's a cool ending.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Zac Efron does amazing choreography here. It's, it's wild that, we don't get more choreography out of him, or that he's not more known for his dancing in his Hollywood career.
Well, I'm sure he does not like being associated with it. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, I mean, because so many actors, like, low-key are just theater kids and they just want to do musicals.
Yeah. Timothy Chalamet, we're looking at you.
But yeah, it's weird for someone's career to have like the opposite trajectory, where it's like, I was in musicals and I was really good at it, but now I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. You never know.
Especially
maybe,
because
someday he'll be back in one.
Especially because, like, if you see Corbin Blue in Little Shop of Horrors, you're like, wow, he's amazing.
Or even in that Hallmark movie we watched a couple years ago. He was in... He did a scene in a Broadway Backwards one year where he did Mine Air from Cabaret, and he did such a good job.
Yeah, I think we got to get Zac Efron on Broadway. I think that's the trick. Get Hugh Jackman to convince him.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? He's a muscly man like Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman is known for his Broadway and his musical theater. He is Mr. Oklahoma.
Let's just do The Greatest Showman on Broadway. And get Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron back.
I mean, I bet Zendaya would do it too. Let's be honest.
Zendaya is too famous for Broadway.
I feel like if she wanted to do Broadway, though, like, they'd be like, yes. Because she is...
She could lead, like, a play. Like, there's a Rachel McAdams play and, like, a Sarah Paulson play. I guess if there was a Zendaya play, like...
But she's, like, also a recording artist and stuff. It's like, yeah, she is, like, the celebrity performer. But I feel like if she wanted to be in something, she could.
The tickets would be so expensive.
Yeah, well, yes, that would be part of the problem. Tyler, if we had Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron in something, the tickets would be so expensive.
Tickets for The Music Man were not cheap. I didn't even go see it. That's why. So the song ends with Troy literally screaming.
Which,
it's just,
respect. Dun-dun,
dun-dun, dun-dun. Ah! Which I was not expecting the song to just end there.
Surprise! Honestly,
like the climax of the song is just,
Yeah, I think that really puts the cherry on the cake of why it's called Scream. All right, so we end Scream here. So Scream is over. What was the final thoughts? What'd you think of it overall? No bet on it, we know, but
I mean, yeah, like I said in the previous minutes, I came around to it after, like, we got to, like, the main part of the song, where it's like the, I can't lose, I want my own. Yeah, like, I guess the chorus is good, yeah. And the, is it her? Is it love? Could the music ever
it's
be
in
it? Like,
it's silly. Yeah.
It definitely had some high fun moments. And the choreography and the dancing is high energy and exciting in a way that's like, definitely when you come out of the movie, you're like, I want to watch that scene again. Like, it's mm-hmm. electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. But yeah, I guess for all of the, like, legacy that Bet on It has, I just don't see the same legacy for Scream. Like,
no, I mean, it's not memed in nearly the same way, but it does have its funny moments that are taken out of and put on the internet.
Yeah, I think the problem is, like, in Bet on It and in High School Musical 2, the drama, while annoying and bad, is, as we've said before, like, appropriately campy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this one, it just doesn't feel the same. Like, feels like we're watching a DC movie where it's just like, well, these are the scenes that were going to happen in the movie. And so they all happen. And here's the order that we put them in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the scenes, like, the plot is expected. It's called senior year. Like, we're expecting certain things to happen in it. But I don't know. I don't treat it as harshly, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the expectations get lowered for this one a little bit, despite it being a theatrical movie.
I think that's irrelevant to the, at the end of the day, like, that's irrelevant to this actual film. Other than they got a slightly bigger budget.
I guess I'm just going to be curious to, like, rewatch it all at the end and be like, okay, mm-hmm. in context, everything, how does it flow?
Yeah.
But I still feel like I'm going to stand by my, like, well, those were a bunch of songs that happened, especially the Gabriella plot where it's like, okay, she's gone now. And that led to Troy doing his big emotional number.
Yeah. We'll get there, I guess.
And
but
the trouble is, and I guess it was a complaint about High School Musical 2. It's like, oh, it's still the Troy show. And I guess High School Musical 3 is a little less the Troy show. Like, it doesn't feel like everybody else's plots are, like, being shunted at the expense of, like, propping up Troy Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, that's what makes Bet on It work, is that, like, it's a Troy Bolton movie, and so you build up to this climax of seeing this big Troy number, and now it's just like, well, we've got less of an emotional stake here in whatever Troy's doing. And so the drama doesn't feel as powerful.
Yeah, I still think this is the Troy Bolton show. I think we're still getting mostly Troy.
I mean, right now in the movie especially, I think the Troy and Gabriella relationship has been more of the focus of the movie. Gabriella feels a little bit more involved. I don't know. What do you think?
I still think, because we're never hearing other than Gabriella's song, we still didn't really know what Gabriella was thinking. Like, we were like, when her song was going on, we're like, where is this coming from? Like, they didn't just break up. Why is she saying these things? Like, we don't understand her motivation in the way we're getting what's going on with Troy.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit like the, you know, the later Marvel movies where it's like, well, these are all the characters and they can't change or grow. They just are what they are now. And mm-hmm. you know what they are coming into the movie. So we're just going to give you what you think everything is supposed to be. And it will be like that for the run of the movie.
Yeah.
Any drama is basically going to reset back to the beginning by the end.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with sequels. I mean, it's rare to get the third movie in a series where you feel like the characters have grown and changed after all this time.
Yeah.
It really does put into perspective, though, like the High School Musical 1 of it all, where it's like, you know what? It's just a simple fable of a girl who wanted to do science but got roped into singing, and a boy who wanted to play basketball but got roped into singing.
Yeah, no, it is really funny to think about the escalation of the overall plot. Like, oh, we started with do I sing and we end with do I college?
But yeah, I mean, the sort of the visual of Troy dancing. I mean, we've got the lights. There's like the backlights, which are like these spotlight, yeah. not spotlights, fog light type style. Like,
yeah, they're big, like hazy a little.
Yeah,
the
and then there's
lens.
There's sort of like the array of spotlight things going from the ceiling that are doing like the circle motions going in and out of each other.
He's getting sweaty under all these lights.
And as the song ends, like most of the lights are out, so we're only seeing the front light on his face. Mm-hmm. And he sort of takes a moment, like after a scream, to like think about what he's done.
Which. I like what this scene turns into, so let's start talking about that, because I like where this scene goes, because we get contemplative Troy, we get thoughtful Troy, we get a Troy who isn't as sure and is okay in it revealing that to none other than Darbus, who is sitting out in the audience, just like randomly in a chair, just like, as she's saying, rebalancing the play, because Sharpay has to fit the role of Miss Montez.
Miss Montez.
I think it's so funny that Darbus is just like sitting in the dark.
Well, we didn't see her walking. Like maybe she was in the other room or in the hallway somewhere, just like walking around.
She was sitting there. You see her like shuffle her papers around, move her eyeglasses. Like she'd been sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, she could have brought the papers in with her. Like,
but she's not going to sit down just to get back up when Troy's all done screaming. Like, if she comes in because she heard Troy screaming and then is like, oh, I got to go in there. And then she sits down, waits for him to be done. Like, that's...
What I'm saying is that she walked by and noticed that Troy was dancing and singing his heart out on the stage. And just said, oh, I'm just going to sit and see how this unfolds. And then only when Troy's done does he even realize that she's there. And so that's when the conversation starts.
But he's not in there for that. Like, he just got in here. We're only in the theater for the last, like, 30 seconds of the song.
True. It's hard to analyze the diegesis here. But... as someone who's wandered around the hallways of a school in the evening hours, I've definitely been the like, oh, what? There's someone else here? I was just walking by.
Yeah, but I think there's some intentionality to this. Like, she could have stayed hidden in the dark, but she decides to get up and talk to Troy. Just, like, have a nice little chat.
Yeah, I mean... in the grand scheme of things, it is very much like hero's journey meeting with the goddess vibes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, let's have this prescient conversation with Dumbledore where he says all the right things that will teach me the lesson that I'm supposed to take away from this moment.
But honestly, like, we get to see that Darbus actually kind of likes Troy.
No, it's a frank conversation and it's emotionally honest conversation, which works. Mm-hmm. It's honestly one of the like more transparent scenes that we've gotten in any of these three movies.
I mean, yeah, this scene is by far better than like the locker room scene between Troy and his dad, or the truck scene earlier in this movie, or even just the last scene between Troy and his dad. Like, Troy is being able to be heard and is listening.
Yeah, I was even going to say that, like, this is the opposite bookend of Troy's conversation with his father, and the song came in between. So it really does lie in direct comparison with that. And, yeah, it's weird because it's almost like Darbus, she did the thing that she's not supposed to do, which we'll talk about in the next minute.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like... in the area where Troy's supposed to be like uncomfortable, or like she's the relationship that's supposed to be a little bit more uncomfortable. Like Troy's never really been able to open himself up to Darbus, whereas he has in the past had a better relationship with his father. But now, oh, how the tables have turned. And
no, you said that wrong, Tyler.
Oh, how the turns have tabled. Yeah, you're right.
Correct.
And now all of a sudden his dad's the one that he can't communicate with. And his teacher mentor is the one that he's opening up to. I mean, in that way, it's very much a fable of growing up. Like you develop new relationships and you leave behind the support systems that you previously had and you create a new relationship with your parents.
Mm-hmm. I really like that Darbus just like starts out with like the theater's a good place to think. it's a place I come to as well. Like it can be quiet, it can be loud. Like it's she sets the conversation. She starts the conversation very very smart as just like a Troy can say something if he wants and I'm going to open the opportunity for him. But also just acknowledge that we're both here and it can be whatever Troy wants of it. Like, she's doing a great, like, I think using mentorship as, like, an idea. Like, she's doing a good job here.
Yeah. The moment when Troy, like, goes from contemplation to realizing that Miss Darbus is sitting out there is really fun. I like when he goes, Miss D?
Yeah.
I know I'm not supposed to be here. And she goes, aren't you?
Yeah, it's like this is your space too now. Like she's acknowledged like, yeah, this is you now. Like you are part of the theater now.
And as you said, Troy goes like, I came here because I guess that I think that this is a good place to think. And yeah, Ms. Darbus goes, scream, feel free. Yeah. And then like, Troy says, just to think.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the quietness of this scene.
Wow, the juxtaposition of scream into a quiet conversation.
Yes, Tyler.
What? I said the word juxtaposition?
Maybe. Maybe that's it.
I love that word. Great word. Okay, the only other major thing I had here, because we can continue to praise the flow of this conversation.
In the next minute,
In the next minute. We've got Miss Darbus's excuse for being here late at night, which is she's got to rebalance the play with Sharpay in what used to be Gabriella's role, except
yes,
that's not how understudies work. That's not how, like, plays work. What is she doing?
Well, I imagine she's like having to move around more than just Sharpay, because even if Tiara Gold, it took me a second to remember her name there because it's silly. Even if Tiara is just an understudy already, like I'm sure Gabriella was doing other things during the show that now other people may have to step in for. Like, because Sharpay's not gonna do the background dancing and, like, is not willing to support people. And Darbus knows that. And so she's like, okay, now Martha needs to step in for this little bit. And, like, I'm sure there's larger ramifications with Sharpay taking Gabriella's position. Like, if it was anyone else, it would probably not be a big deal. But Sharpay being Sharpay, it's a problem.
I guess you're not wrong, like, changing a casting of a role, like, does require work, but you would assume that would be work that would require Sharpay to be there, like, that's something you would rehearse, or, like, make a plan with the stage manager and the director. I guess, is Kelsey the director, or is...
I think Miss Darbus is the director, yeah.
Okay, well, never mind on that. Like, stage manager, though, is still... what the person that you would want there for those specific, like, okay, where are people supposed to be? I guess the idea that I was getting at is the way that understudies work or should work in the idea of a theater is that you understudy for a role, not a person.
Yeah, but where the roles are the people.
Yeah. It'd be funny if all, like, I guess if all of the characters in the play were just the names of the actors. But
they
then
probably
that,
are.
But then Sharpay just was taking on the role of Gabriella, so they had to call her Gabriella in the play.
Oh, that would be really funny.
And they'd yeah. call her like Sharpriella like the whole time.
Sharpriella. I mean, I think unfortunately Darbus is having to do a little like behind the scenes work too to make sure the play is actually going to work and stuff, like, because they're throwing it together really quick, and it's also like, what, 3 days, 2 days before opening? We don't know. Opening could be tomorrow night for all we know.
I mean, I think the glimpse into Darbus's life, like, maybe there isn't that much work to do, but she's just someone who worries, and she needs to, like, just be there thinking about it anxiously for 4 additional hours every night. Otherwise, she won't be able to sleep at night. Like, and that's part of what Troy's reacting to is like, oh, I didn't realize that you cared so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously, Miss Darbus cares. She cares too much.
Yeah.
That's why she's so mean to everybody who doesn't have talent.
Yeah. Although she's nice to Jason.
Just because she knows that there's no winning with him.
Just nothing behind those eyes. Just a little guy.
But yeah.
Jason is kind of the definition of he's just a little guy.
Just a little guy. What do you want?
Yeah.
But yeah, Darbus wraps up the minute saying that the theater can be a great partner. The theater loves doing dishes and cooking for you.
And leading the tango.
The theater's a great listener.
It always echoes back what you're saying. It's an active listener.
Yeah, exactly.
It also always knows how to make you look good.
Yeah. And the theater has a nice high-paying job. Like, they can pay the bills. Oh, wait, no, that's not how the theater works?
That's not how the theater works.
The theater's a great partner, but I wish they just made a little bit more money, you know? Like, tired of me having to be the one who pays the rent. Like, come on, theater. Pull your weight. Anyway, is that enough riffing on that concept?
I think that's enough riffing on that, yeah. I think we've got plenty more to talk about in the next minute that if we want to be done.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, internet, plugs, what do you got?
Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
Email at AmateurNerdsPresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know your favorite meeting with the goddess scene from a movie. Honestly, it's hard to think of examples. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like Beauty School Dropout?
I guess it happens in like fantasy movies, but like the origin of these like sort of myth based stories, it's almost classical. Like, oh, it's Odysseus getting a vision from Athena or something. Yeah. Like, anyway.
Yeah. Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our music man, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out where this conversation goes between Troy and Darbus. You can bet on it.